You will take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at first at verse 11. If I was to ask you the question, what does the word example mean or refer to? How would you answer? Well, we're at a blockade. This whole class is on examples.
Showing us a thing or someone, either to emulate or not emulate because of their action.
Okay, very good. Someone to emulate or not emulate. That's what I wanted to get in there. Note verse 11. These things happen to them as examples. So Paul has cited a number of examples of people and their attitude and conduct. And he says, these things happened and they're written for our instruction. Now, if you go back to verse 6, these things happened as examples for us that we should not crave evil things as they also crave. So there are examples. We sometimes think of a model to be followed. But sometimes it's referring to things that people did and attitudes that they manifested that are not to be followed. And we'll see that in the course of our study on young men and young women. Obviously, the field of examples is wide open. The Bible's full of them. But we're going to narrow our study to a particular field since we have everybody in the class, young and old. And it will be beneficial, hopefully, for our younger people as well as for all of us. And so we're going to be looking at examples of young men and women on our Wednesday night classes. All right, so we're going to start with Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. And we'll start off by reading the first three verses, and then verse 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Verse 6, now among them, that is among those that were taken captive from their homeland and brought to the Chaldean kingdom, among them were from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So these four young men were among the captives, and we'll be focusing in our study tonight on these four young men. Now you'll note we have on your lesson two dates. These dates will help us to get some perspective of the age of these young men. How old they were is not stated in the text. And we can't be definite about it. But this study is about young men. And I think the indications are these were young men. So here in the first verse of the first chapter, You have the first assault by Nebuchadnezzar, where he took some captives. And that's dated around 605, 606 B.C. All right, so that's when these four young men were taken captive. One of them, Daniel. All right, now go to chapter 10 of Daniel. Verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that would be about 536 B.C. So by comparing those two verses, you see about a 70-year gap. So from the time Daniel was taken captive until this period right here, he's still alive. In fact, he's still a student of the Bible. 70 years have passed. So what does that have to do with his age when he was taken captive? Well, if 70 years has passed and he was 30 when he was taken captive, how old would he be? Be 100. But if he was 20, he'd be 90. Right? And if he was, say, 15, he'd be 85. We can't say definitely. But in view of the 70 years, his advanced age over here, and he's still very capable, still serving, it lends to the idea that back in the first chapter, 70 years earlier, he was probably a teenager. What's also interesting here in the text is that these four young men are classed with youths, Y-O-U-T-H-S. Note, for example, in verse 4, youths, who are they to bring? Youths in whom there was no defect, who were good looking. So, young men often have not been old enough to suffer the imperfections that age brings. These are youths. Note also, if you will, in verse 10, let's start in 9. God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I'm afraid of the Lord my king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? So there were other youths taken captive, and Daniel is classified by this commander to be of that age group. Look again at verse 13. Let our appearance be observed in your presence in the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food. And then in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So that favors the idea of a teenager, some young age. I found some resources that said, for example, in Persia, the education of boys began about in their 14th year. And in the 17th year, they were capable of serving the king. Now, that's secular material, but it accords with this. If that was indeed the ancient practice, that was something that the ancient historian Plato wrote about. But be that as it may, these are young men, obviously. Now, young people in this audience, we've got Raylan here, we've got Mr. Jackson here, we've got Wyatt here, we've got different ones, we've got Alexis back there. What if we had war, say with China, and China won? They sent their army over here. They said, we're going to take some young people. and they took you. They took you, Raylan, and they took you, Alexis, and they took you, Noah, and they took you, Wyatt. You'll never see your family again. They're going to take you to China, where they're atheists. They're not going to be able to go to church. You probably will not even have a Bible, maybe. Daniel was able to read the scriptures, but he was an officer in the kingdom. If that happened, and they take you to China, do you know Chinese? What?
No.
No. Do you know it? But they want you to serve the ruler, so what are they going to have to do?
Educate
you in Chinese. But it's not just the language. They want you to be familiar with the culture, their ideas. Well, look at these boys. It says, verse 4, it says, they were showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge. What does this tell you, first of all, about these young men and how their youth was spent? Was it just out throwing rocks and knocking bird nests down and running around the block? How did they get this kind of description? It's indication these boys had some time spent in an academic field. Reading, learning. And this is what would prepare them for what's happening to them. So many times young people today, they play video games. They know how to fix your devices. You know, if you have trouble, call a young person. They can fix your devices. But do they read? Are they interested in history and learning something about the language? Young people sometimes don't know a verb from an adverb. But here are some young men that evidently had a childhood. We don't know anything about their parents or whatever. But it says they were endowed with understanding, showed intelligence, and they were selected by the king for his service. And so then it says he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The literature and language. So they would be immersed in a college program, as we might call it. And it would be an intensive program. This is not a college program where you go to class an hour or two and then you go play football, baseball, go to the game, go to the prep rally. There's none of that. It's an intensive training program. And you see in verse 5, the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years. So here's a 3-year intensive teaching program. Now, we ask the young people, how would you feel? Where would you be? Would you just give up on God and Christ and the Bible and what you've learned? This last quarter, we studied the evidences for Jesus Christ. Would you say, I'm in another country, I don't have a choice? Where would you be? Would you be able to maintain your faith, young people? Parents. This is a question for parents. These young men were to be trained 3 years. You have, parents, 16, maybe 18 years to train your children. Do you? Or is it the same thing? Parents just oblivious to what they need to be learning. Just go to school, make a good grade, and join some kind of sports, and just frivol your youth away. If you knew parents, that when your child was 16 or 18 or 20, they'd be taken to a foreign land, would you train them any differently? Would you spend time with them studying those evidences we just studied in the last quarter? Asking them questions, can they answer them? Somewhere these young men got training. Don't know anything about that back history. But it's interesting as you look at these young men. In verse 3, you see something else about them. It says, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. It may be that these four young men were royalty. If they were royalty, does that add to their problem or take away from it? If they're used to living in fine, fine homes and eating fine, fine food and having the best clothes and maybe even people to wait upon them, now they're captive in a foreign land. Just think how their life flip-flops, completely changes. And now they're going to be schooled in the Chaldean literature. Do you reckon that had something to do with their gods? What did you read that Nebuchadnezzar did with the vessels from the temple? Verse 2. What do you do with them? Well, he stole them, but what do you do with them? Put them in the house of his God. Is Nebuchadnezzar religious? Yes. He's an idol worshiper. And so when you read about teach him the literature, he's got a temple to his God. Does he want his servants, these boys, who've been schooled in the Jewish religion, to know about the literature, the culture of the Chaldeans? You know, if you were taken to, let's say not China, let's say you were taken to India, young people, and now you're going to be schooled in the Hindu religion. How many gods do they have, do you know? What do they think about Jesus Christ, do you know? You'd learn. And it's not what you've been taught. And it's not what you've been reading in your Bible. Suppose you were taken to a Muslim country and taught their religion. Well, these three young men were taken to a Chaldean land and immersed in the literature and language of the Chaldeans. So we answered question number 4, 3 years. You know, suppose these boys said, I don't like it. I don't want to go to school for 3 years. I don't want to study Chaldean literature. What changes? Do they have that choice? No. It's not, well, what do you like to do, sweetheart? It's not that kind of thing. Here's what you're going to do, and then you're going to serve the king. Or you're going to face the consequences. You know, sometimes young people are just, well, what do you like to do? I don't like to study. I don't like to read the Bible. I don't like to do Bible lessons. So what? You need to. And if you're ever going to grow, young people or older people, you may rather watch TV. You may rather get out in the yard. I'd rather be out in the yard than sitting in my office studying. But you can't get the desired result without doing the work. You can't get there. So it's not a matter of what you like. It's a matter of what you need to do to get the result you want. And that's why they're educated 3 years. All right, we asked the question. What were their Jewish names? And what were their names change to? So drop down to verse 6. We don't call them by their Jewish name very often, do we? Daniel we do, but not the other three guys. So in verse 6, their Jewish names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But they were given new names. So Raylan's not going to be Raylan anymore. She's going to be Beladuck. It has to do with the god Baal. See? We're going to give her a new name. And Noah over here, we'll call him Beelzeboy. So he can worship Beelzebub. Now, don't call him Noah. Don't call her Raylan. You're talking about these idolatrous names. And that's usually the names we use when we talk about the other three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are idolatrous names. What do they mean? Not certain about it. There's been several suggestions made. I think they're pretty good. Before I look at those suggestions, here's a verse in Daniel that clearly shows the connection. Go to chapter 4 and verse 8. You'll notice that Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. Where in the world? Where's that come from? Go to chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar. Note this phrase. According to the name of my God. That clearly shows the connection of the new names being associated with idolatry. And so, you know, if Neil was to finally get a way to contact over there, well, Raylan's over in China, Raylan's over in India. And so he sends a message, hey, I want to talk to Raylan. I say, well, ain't no Raylan here. No Raylan here. Who are you talking about? Bella Duck? Their names were changed. And so, the Belteshazzar, it's suggested that it means either a servant of Baal, or Baal protect the people, or Baal protect the king. Not certain, but those are suggestions that are made. Shadrach, his name possibly inspired by the sun god, possibly a perversion of the god Marduk. Meshach, who is what the moon god is. Abednego, servant of Nebo, what's been suggested. But they're idolatrous names. So everything's being done to cut off the old associations. Everything they learned in the 15, 18, 20 years that they've had, now they're going to learn new, have new names, new associations. What's the effort of that? Completely disassociate them from the foundation that was laid. What's so interesting about these four young men, they could change their name. They could send them to college, but they couldn't change their faith. And they couldn't move them away from what they had learned about God. What examples indeed they are. These four young men. Question number 6. Look at verse 8. You'll note here in verse 8, they would not eat the king's choice food. Daniel wouldn't eat the king's choice food. The other, it's indicated later that all four of them were this way. Would not eat the king's choice food. You reckon that was the finest food? You can imagine that, the best food in the land. Or with the wine which he drank. Wouldn't that just fit in better? Eat that food and drink that wine. Good grief, what difference does it make? I don't know why they didn't. I don't know if this food was associated with idolatry in some way. If it was unclean food, back in Leviticus, they were taught not to eat unclean food. I don't know if this particular wine was either intoxicating or if it was dedicated to a god, but there's some reason these four young men said, we're not going to eat that and we're not going to drink that wine. We ask you the question, why? What does it state in verse 8? Why were they able to resist that? He made up his mind. He didn't get over there and have to think about it. I don't know. He made up his mind. He had resolve. What they did was a matter of conviction, not convenience. And if you form the right foundation of faith, your mind's already made up. I don't have to decide. I already know who I'm going to serve. And all of this other, you do whatever you want. I'm not going to participate in it. Now you think of young men and women going to college. Are there any offers that Satan makes about food and drink? Young people ever offer drugs? Make them feel good. Make them feel high and fit in with the crowd. Everybody else is doing it. How about a bottle of beer down then? All the other young people are drinking. You know the first step? It's before you go to college. Make up your mind. Make up your mind to stay sober, to stay pure, to glorify God. Don't have to get there and think about it. You already got your mind made up. That's what you find here in verse 8. Caused a little bit of problem. The commander was concerned because he's responsible for these boys. He didn't want them to look like they were, verse 10, their faces looking more haggard. Apparently this food was supposedly to nourish them and make them really look good. But Daniel said, verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. He said, boy, that other food probably a lot tastier than just a bunch of vegetables and water. You'll be offered all kind of stuff. But he said, test us for 10 days, then look at us, see what you see. So he listened to them, tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths that had been eating the king's choice food. And if young people will make up their mind before they start college about what they're going to eat, what they're not going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're not going to drink, at the end of 4 years, they won't have to look back in sadness and see how they ruined their lives and their health. College oftentimes is not for education. It's for young people experiencing life as if that's just something you've got to do. That's the devil's lie. Verse 17, these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. These four young men are already mentioned about their academic nature. And Daniel was a man evidently very interested in learning, reading, studying. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Let me read. Verse 2. Now, how old is Daniel by now? He's 536. Let's say he was 15 when he was taken captive. How old is he? 85. If he was 20, 90, you don't have to study the Bible when you get old and gray, do you? Good grief. You retire. Some people retire from the Lord's service. But he did. Verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. He's reading the book. Jeremiah. Still is. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of man Daniel was. You know, when you read about Daniel, when you pick characters in the Bible that stand out for moral purity, it's hard to find one on the plane of Daniel. Was he a sinner? Yes, he needed Jesus Christ. We're just not told about his sins. But he was a man of such high moral character. How did he get to be that way? Was it genetic? Just born that way? No. He tells you in chapter 1, tells you here in chapter 9. He was a man of faith, and he nurtured that faith all these years. And that's what made him the man he was. And so, we've got people all kind of ages in this class. We've got a bunch of old people like Wally. I'm glad I'm not as old as he is. Of course, there's only 2 weeks difference, but anyway. Did you know Wally's a Bible student? I know it. Because I go on vacation with him. And I get up. Of course, he gets up before I do. I'll go in there and he's in there reading his Bible, marking, studying. That's Daniel. And so if you ever wonder, well, why is Wally so dedicated and so focused on serving God? Here's one of the answers. Right here. That can make a difference in you and me. All right, look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. So he had 3 years of secular training. Name changed. Over in a foreign land, away from his homeland, family, country, everything. But here in this chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And he was angry because his counselors couldn't tell him what he dreamed and what it meant. Daniel was consulted. Daniel said he could tell him, but not because of Daniel, but because of the God he served. And so it's interesting to see now his view of God. And that's what we asked in the lesson, to face a trial, even potential death. If Daniel couldn't do it, these kings had no problem putting people to death. But even in the face of potential death, Daniel's faith stood firm, and it was not undermined by the 3 years of secular training and education. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. We'll start in 17. Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, I'm not sure the right pronunciation, and Azariah about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Note these four young men believe God was not located in Jerusalem or Judea. Make a difference where you live. God knows your address. And they prayed to God. And the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. What does bless the God of heaven mean? Praised him and thanked him. I wonder if we were in Daniel's shoes, we'd ever pray again. He did. And Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever, for wisdom and power belong to him. And it is he who changes the times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings." Wait a minute, Daniel. You're saying God rules the nation, but Nebuchadnezzar, an idolatrous king, conquered Judah? Yes, God rules the nation. What if our country falls to a foreign power? Does that mean the God you've been worshiping all these years doesn't exist? No, it doesn't. And so here's Daniel in a foreign country. He said, God rules the nations. He sets up kings. He takes them down. He gives wisdom to wise men, knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now thou hast made known to me what we requested of thee, and thou hast made known to us the king's matter. Verse 28, he said, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. You know, it's not me. It's the God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And then down in verse 29, O king, while on your bed your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. He still believed in the omnipotence of God. In the omniscience of God. All-knowing, all-powerful. And Daniel, in this remarkable interpretation of Daniel's dream. Daniel lived, we talked about 605 to the late 500s. Daniel looked down the stream of time over 500 years and so accurately told the history of the nations to come that people who don't believe the Bible say this could not have been written in the 6th century B.C. No way. Yes, there is a way. And he told you what it is. The proof, of course, will be in its fulfillment. Not only that, in chapter 6, when he's thrown to the den of lions. And there'll be other things that God will reveal about these generations yet to come. And so, Daniel still extolled God. Now, you know, the question comes up, well, what if God had not saved him? What if he had not revealed the mystery to Daniel? He would have died. Would Daniel then have caved in? Would he have cratered in the face of, all right, Daniel, you can't tell me, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all these wise men. He was mad. And so, now, Daniel, is your God alive? Are you going to still stand by him? There's a chapter in the book of Daniel that answers that question. Do you know which one it is? Chapter 6. Don't pray to anybody but the king. Are you going to die? Daniel kept on praying. We're going to throw you to the den of lions. Throw me in. Faith wouldn't waver. That's the Daniel we're talking about. But it started back here when he was a young man. His faith, as we said earlier, is a matter of conviction, not convenience. Now we have these other three young men. And you have the story in chapter 3 that you're familiar with, how Nebuchadnezzar made this great image, said, you got to bow down and worship my image. And these three young boys said, we're not bowing down to your image. So Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13 of chapter 3, he was really mad. Rage and anger, he gave orders to bring these three boys. They're brought before the king. Is it true what I've been hearing about you guys? Now I'm going to give you a second chance. Verse 15. At the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, etc., you bow down. If you don't, you're going to be cast in that fiery furnace. And boy, their statement is such a great statement of faith. Just like we said, if God hadn't revealed it to Daniel, we know what he would have done because of chapter 6. Serving God was not a matter of, well, if God lets me live and bless me, I'll serve him. But if things go bad, I don't know. That's not the kind of faith these four young men had. Their faith was based on evidences they considered to be solid for their faith in God. So these four young men, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That is, if he wants to, he will. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. You imagine three young boys telling the ruler of the greatest empire on the earth, stand in his presence. I'm not going to serve you, God. Buddy, that's courage. That's courage of faith. When Joshua took over the leadership from Moses, he had to lead this nation into the promised land. Over there across the river were cities, walled cities and armies. Over and over and over in chapter 1, he said, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. To be a Christian, you got to be courageous. To be a servant of God, you got to be courageous. But it's a courageousness based on faith in God. If you do whatever you want, King, we're not going to serve your image. We're not going to bow down to it. And of course, you know the story as to what happened. Look in chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. Their attitude to God, in spite of all that happened, here's what they said about God. Well, what happened as a result of their faith? Let me restate that. Here's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. When he saw these boys' faith and what happened, he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. That was the impression made on Nebuchadnezzar. What if they had failed? What if they said, okay, and they're trembling, and they bow down to this image? And you young people, when you go to college, you're going to say, I'm a Christian. And that people will be watching you. Well, let's see if they're a Christian. Here, let's go out and do this or that. You know, if you don't, you're a nerd. You're a goody-two-shoes. Who do you think you are? You may be kicked out of societies. But you maintain your faith. And people see your conviction. That you, the God you serve is living. And true, what impact may it have? You don't know. But if you give up your faith, what impact will it have? All that talk about God and Jesus, but you won't stand. I knew it was just a fairy tale. Here's the impact these boys had. Any comments? Our time is up. Any comments on this particular lesson? Thank you for your good attention tonight. Sunday morning is a different thread now. We'll talk about why can I not be a member of that church? We'll lay a foundation in our first lesson about the will of God, truth versus whatever's out there. We'll lay that foundation, the Lord willing, Sunday morning. You don't have a copy, there's some on the foyer. We emailed you a copy. You can download it, work it on your computer if you wish. But be that as it may, that's what we plan to do Sunday morning. Thank you again for your attention this evening.